live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Happy Tuesday. November 14th, 2017. Yes, the days are flying by, right? Pretty soon is going to be Thanksgiving and then Christmas, and then we'll be welcoming 2018 to our lives, right? Wow. I tell you what, this year has absolutely flown by, and, you know, hey, I always say time flies when you're having fun. We have been having a doozy of a time throughout the week here on Current Sports, and it's only Tuesday. I feel like yesterday's show was so jam-packed. Primarily focused on MSU football as the Spartans fell and are still trying to come to grips with that 45-point loss at the hands of the Ohio State Buckeyes in Columbus, Ohio on Saturday. Mark D'Antonio held his weekly press conference this morning at Spartan Stadium. I'll have a few takeaways from the presser later on this hour. Don't really want to elaborate too much on today's press conference. We'll have more coverage on that presser and more dialogue centered on MSU football on tomorrow's show. But on today's show, I want to focus on the Detroit Lions, which got a big win over the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. It looked a little iffy to start that game. They were actually in a hole for a period of time midway through that matchup. Yeah, the lowly Cleveland Browns, 0-9 on the year for the Browns, but the Lions improved to 5-4 overall, and moving forward now, they will play the Chicago Bears, a team that is not great, and I'll have a few takeaways from the Detroit Lions, and I'll give my thoughts on the NFC North race, as they, of course, are chasing the Minnesota Vikings in that division. We will also be previewing tonight's big matchup. Tonight is the night, folks. Many of you will be glued to your televisions if you aren't heading 4 hours away to Chicago, Illinois, inside of the United Center to witness the Michigan State and Duke college basketball game, Tom Izzo versus Coach K. A matchup that Tom Izzo has not fared well in throughout his tenure as head coach of the Spartan men's basketball program. He's not shy in admitting that. Big game because you got number two versus number one. Duke ranked number one in the country. Michigan State not too far behind at number two. Many people would even say that Michigan State should have that number one ranking. But you can go back and forth. Not much separation between the two teams. Who will pull out the big matchup? We'll talk about that matchup and give our thoughts and prediction on it. And also, we'll welcome to the show a man who will be inside of the United Center covering that game, our friend Deshaun Tate, men's college basketball reporter for CBS Radio down in Atlanta, Georgia. Deshaun will join me on the airwaves. We'll have quick takeaways from last night's Michigan State women's basketball game as they beat Oakland. And I'll give some brief thoughts on the whole Jerry Jones versus Roger Goodell situation in the National Football League. So as you see, a jam-packed show, folks. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports and tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin. WKAR is my official Twitter handle. So let's start the show right with conversation. I want to get right to this Detroit Lions chatter and just kind of looking at the entire picture for the Lions as the season rolls along here. So let's dive right into it, folks. We start this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I'll get to our quick hit headliners later on before our first break, but I want to just dive right into it because a lot of you have been chomping at the bit to weigh in on what took place on Sunday, and I have a message to the Lions fans out there. My only message for you all today is just don't get your heart broken, okay? I get it. A win is a win, sure, but my goodness, this was a struggle for the Lions, I must say. Was not easy. Because after going up 3-0, we saw some interesting moments happen throughout this game. The final score doesn't tell the full story. After it was 3-0, watching that game, Matthew Stafford was then hurried and tossed a really mindless interception to Jamie Collins. And then DeShone Kizer, he finds Kenny Britt for a 19-yard touchdown. And then the Lions find themselves in an early 10-0 hole against the winless Cleveland Browns. Yeah, a win is a win, but the Browns almost pulled this one out. They really did, folks. 10-0. The Lions will respond by going into halftime with a 17-10 lead, but then the second half starts. And by the way, I mean, how horrible was that call by the Cleveland Browns as time was expiring with 15 seconds left on the clock right before halftime? They could have tacked on 3 points, but then all of a sudden, the Browns decide to go for it, and it was a QB rush. And time expires, and they go into halftime really with a lot of Browns fans just kind of shaking their head and saying, what in the world was that? Just horrible clock management. But anyway, they go into halftime, and it's 17-10. The second half starts, and the Browns score Isaiah Crowell draw from 6 yards to tie the game at 17-all. Then the Lions' run defense gives up some big plays. You know, after the Lions punt on the very next possession, DeShone Kizer scrambles for 20 yards. That was followed by a Duke Johnson 14-yard run. And then Kizer finds a receiver for a 35-yard touchdown.
That was, he finds a receiver for 35 yard gain, and then Kaiser keeps it himself, and then makes it 24-17, a 24-17 lead for the Browns with 2:23 left in the third quarter. And at that moment, when it was 24-17, you could see Lions fans everywhere reaching for the clicker to mute the television, pleading with the football gods to not be so cruel, asking them to please trade this loss to anyone, any team, but the 0-8, now 0-9, Cleveland Browns. 24-17 with 2:23 left in the third quarter. The Browns leading the Lions? I couldn't believe that. Now, eventually those cries were answered as Matthew Stafford would find Eric Ebron, of all receivers out there, right? Tight end Eric Ebron for a touchdown. And then Golden Tate sealed the deal. But, man, that was close. So, a lot of Lions fans are evaluating that game and saying, how should I feel? The Lions won, sure, great. And to be honest with you, looking at the schedule for the rest of the season, it's an easy schedule. An easy schedule. No team in the NFL has an easier road to the playoffs than the Detroit Lions. The seven teams on the Lions schedule, including this past weekend, approaching that game against the Cleveland Browns, have a combined winning percentage of 38%. And they play the Chicago Bears twice. And they play one team with a winning record. The only team with a winning record the rest of the way is, you guessed it, the Minnesota Vikings, which lead the NFC North. And Minnesota, by contrast, they play eight teams, including the Redskins, from this past weekend with a combined 52% win percentage over the next 2 months. And five of their games will be away from Minnesota. Five of those games taking place on the road. So the Lions have it easy moving forward. However, that was too close for comfort against a very bad team in the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. How did they justify it in the locker room? Where Glover Quinn, he made a statement that the Browns probably have better athletes than, quote, 25 out of the 32 teams in the league, end quote. Glover Quinn said that. He said that the Cleveland Browns probably have better athletes than 25 out of the 32 teams in the league. Nobody's wrong. Buying that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. One more time, Isaac. Wrong. Thank you.
Wrong.
25 out of the 32 teams in the league, you believe the Browns have better athletes than? Yeah, wrong. Totally wrong. Thank you, President Trump. Jim Caldwell also attempted to justify that the Browns are a decent team as well in his post-game press conference. That is how they tried to come up with some kind of excuse as to why this game was so close. Don't kid yourselves, Lions. Lions fans and all of humanity know what the real deal is. Sometimes the Lions will play with fire and play down to the competition. That's just what they do. And sometimes in doing so, they will get burned. Thankfully, that didn't happen on Sunday, but gosh, did they walk on that fine line, right? So evaluating this team now, heading into a Week 11 game in Chicago against the Bears, the Lions sit, as I stated, 5-4. Some encouraging signs for the Honolulu Blue. Well, Matthew Stafford is absolutely heating up. He shook off an early pick to complete 17 of 26 passes against Cleveland for 3 touchdowns. Had just that 1 turnover. He's now completed 67.3% of his passes in 3 games since the bye week, which is up from 60.4% before the bye week. Pretty impressive. And I've always said, you know, calling out all of the Matthew Stafford haters out there, I mean, Matthew Stafford is earning his keep. And there is a reason why he is the highest paid player in the NFL. In making that statement, I'm not saying that Matthew Stafford is the best player in the NFL. But when looking at the quarterback position in the National Football League and how valued that position is, you can't win if you don't have a decent quarterback in the league. And when you do have a decent or above average quarterback, you got to do what you can do in order to keep that brother behind center. And the Lions made the right decision, in my opinion, in giving him that moolah to assure that Matthew Stafford is there for the long haul. And now it's just about surrounding him with the right pieces. If you give him time, Matthew Stafford will put up pretty impressive numbers. And that offensive line has been playing really good as of late. Again, he's completing 67% of his passes in three games since the bye week. Pretty impressive. He has 5 touchdowns and just 1 pick. That 1 pick that we saw early in that game against Cleveland during this 3-game stretch. And his passer rating is, get this, 116.6. And one thing that Matthew Stafford has added to his game that has been oh so impressive is when watching him this season, how impressive is it to watch Matthew Stafford at the line? And he's evaluating and watching the defense. And it's kind of like, now again, I'm not saying he's better than Peyton Manning or even on Peyton Manning's level, but is Peyton Manning-esque to watch Matthew Stafford at the line, evaluating the defense, watching the play clock dwindle down and making adjustments, yelling out, who knows, what he's not yelling out Omaha like Peyton Manning, but he's yelling out all these different audibles and different calls and making adjustments. His brain is moving before that ball is hiked. I love that. I love his audibles at the line. He's showing a different component to his game now. And speaking of, again, the offensive line, a lot of Matthew Stafford's surprise has to do with that OL. Stafford was at his worst in weeks 4 through 6. He was sacked 17 times throughout that span of time. Then the offensive line tightened up against Pittsburgh and Green Bay and allowed just 3 sacks combined against those two teams. Stafford, you give him time, and he will get in a zone. Now, granted, he was sacked 4 times against Cleveland, but that's one of the best defensive lines in the league, despite their horrid record. Taylor Decker, he looked great on Sunday in his return. And I love the move from the Lions to move Corey Robinson to guard. That's paying off as well, giving Matthew Stafford time. So now you play the Chicago Bears. Oh, another bad team, right? Again, the Lions have the easiest road to the playoffs than any other team moving forward to end the NFL year. They will now play the Bears, a team that they will play twice. Looking at the rest of the schedule, the Bears are 3-6, and there have been many rumors surrounding the job stability of Mr. John Fox. Against their rival, the Bears, taking on the Green Bay Packers this past weekend, the Bears were bad. Last week, Mitchell Trubisky, he was sacked 5 times. 5 times. Mitchell Trubisky, 8 grabs. Matthew Stafford, 4 times in comparison. But again, 2 different teams. There were about, looking up in the stands as well, it was noted that there were about 6,000 empty seats at Soldier Field. The fans have given up on the Chicago Bears. And the Bears' defense handed Brett Hundley a 110 passer rating. That's not good. Sure, when looking at the 3 wins that the Bears do have, they are 3-6, and 2 of those wins have come against the Pittsburgh Steelers and Carolina Panthers. But don't drink that Kool-Aid, because that went over the Steelers. If you go back and watch that game, and I remember it was that the replay was played time and time again. That win against the Steelers, it was a crime due to the non-holding call on Deontay Thompson that sprung the running back into the end zone to seal the deal on that win over the Steelers. That was a crime. That should have been a holding call on Deontay Thompson. It should have been taken back, and who knows what would have happened then in overtime. And the Panthers just handed the game away due to turnovers. So don't be fooled. 3-6, 3-6 the Bears are. Two, in my opinion, lucky wins against the Steelers and Panthers. They should be that should be just one win in that column, to be honest. Now, the Bears' defense is decent. They rank 9th overall, 10th against the pass, 16th against the run, 13th in points allowed per game. They can make plays. They've proven that they can make plays. And, you know, you look at the front seven in Akeem Hicks, Leonard Floyd, Parnell McPhee, pretty stout. Linebacker, though, Danny Trevathan, he has been hurt in corner. Kyle Fuller really hasn't lived up to his first-round draft status. So the Lions should, on paper, absolutely trounce the Bears. But again, this is the Detroit Lions, and they love making things difficult for you fans out there. So I wouldn't be surprised to see this as a competitive game. But the point I want to reiterate now is that if the Detroit Lions want to make a statement that they are for real this year and will finally deliver a playoff win to the Honolulu Blue Faithful, they have to handle business in these next few weeks. Again, a combined win percentage of 38% the rest of the way against the majority of teams you play. Well, all of the teams combined you play. That's what the win percentage comes out to be. You play one team with a winning record, and that's the team you're competing with for that NFC North crown, the Vikings. All I'm saying, Lions, is handle business. But, man, was that tough to watch throughout a few stints in that game. What are your takeaways from the Lions' win over the Cleveland Browns? Do you think the Lions will win the NFC North? I'm curious to hear your thoughts. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave a comment there. I will read it live here on our airwaves and tweet us. At Al Martin, WKAR is my official Twitter handle, or tweet the show at the show's Twitter handle of at WKAR_sports. In just a moment, we are going to preview tonight's big game. The Michigan State men's basketball team will play in the Champions Classic against the Duke Blue Devils in Chicago at the United Center. We will talk with Deshaun Tate, men's college basketball reporter for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. Again, Deshaun will be at that game. I'm curious to elaborate on a few points, specifically as it concerns to Tom Izzo's non-success against the Duke Blue Devils. Again, Tom Izzo right now is 1-10 all time against Duke. I don't know if you guys saw today's sports page of the Lansing State Journal, but Graham Couch, sports columnist for the Lansing State Journal, he wrote an interesting article that is entitled, quote, Tom Izzo's Duke struggles are exaggerated, though not to Michigan State's coach. Interesting article. It makes some very convincing points as to why Michigan State's men's basketball coach Tom Izzo has that 1-10 record, and really dives into the record itself and situational components when it comes to Spartan teams going against Coach K's Duke troops. And on certain years where Tom Izzo may have had a great lineup with a lot of talent, but during those times, Michigan State didn't match up against Duke. So I'm gonna elaborate on the article and kind of unpack it when we invite Deshaun on the show. But tonight should be a really fun game because Michigan State has, 1-2, there's not much separation between these two teams, in my opinion. I mean, you could easily say that Michigan State is the best basketball team in the nation right now based on what they have coming back from last year, in addition to a pretty good recruiting class that includes Jaren Jackson Jr., and Michigan Mr. Basketball runner-up Xavier Tillman this season. So many components, so much firepower coming off the bench for Michigan State. This is going to be a highly competitive game, and it's really hard to choose a winner because you can make a compelling argument for both of these teams. So we'll dive into that, and I'll get your thoughts on that as well. But right now, before we hit our first break, I want to get to our quick hit headliners for this Tuesday, November 14th. And we start with the Michigan State women's basketball team. Redshirt sophomore guard Shea Colley was one assist shy of a triple-double as the Spartans topped Oakland 95-63 at the Breslin Center last night with the win. Michigan State improved to 2-0 to start the regular season for the third straight season. Colley ended up with 14 points, a team-high 12 rebounds and 9 assists. In just her second game as a Spartan. Senior forward and current sports production assistant and reporter, Taya Reimer. She was 1 point shy of her career high with a team high, 20 points and 5 boards. Also chipped in 4 blocks last night. Redshirt senior Brandy Agee was the third Spartan in double figures with 12.6 boards. The Spartans were strong on the boards, out-rebounding the Grizzlies 59-34. So great start to the year for Susie Merchant and her team. The University of Michigan men's basketball team defeated Central Michigan 72-65 last night inside of the Chrysler Center to remain perfect at 2-0. Overall, the Wolverines scored in double digits with the win. Senior Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, he had 17. Junior Charles Matthews had 13. Sophomore Xavier Simpson had 13. And junior Moritz Wagner and senior Duncan Robinson both had 10 apiece. Wagner continued to make an impact on both sides of the basketball, recording his second double-double in as many games, adding 10 points, 11 boards. This marks Wagner's third career double-double. All right, folks, I've been talking about it throughout this hour. The MSU men's basketball team will take on Duke tonight. The two top-ranked teams in college basketball will tip off at 7 p.m. inside of the United Center as a part of the Champions Classic. You can watch that game on ESPN. Michigan State ranked number 2 in the country in the Associated Press and USA Today College Coaches Poll, opened the season with a 98-66 win over North Florida on Friday at the Breslin Center. The game tonight will be the 14th all-time between Duke and Michigan State, with the Blue Devils leading the series 11-2. Yeah. In 12 meetings since 1998 to 1999, I should say, 9 of the games have been decided by 10 points or fewer. The teams met last year in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, a 78-69 win in North Carolina. Michigan State has an all-time record of 3-3 in the Champions Classic, including a 2-0 mark at the United Center. Last year, Michigan State, then number 13 in the country, lost to number 2 Kentucky 69-48 at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Kentucky has a 4-2 record in the Champions Classic, while Duke is 3-3 and Kansas is 2-4. So again, Duke and Michigan State tonight at 7 p.m. on ESPN. A basketball coach at Michigan State University was charged on Monday in connection with a fatal crash in Summerfield Township. Todd Moyer, an associate strength and conditioning coach for the MSU men's basketball team, he was charged with reckless driving, causing death. The crash sadly happened on July 14th. On U.S. 23 north of Summerfield Road, prosecutors alleged that Moyer was distracted while driving southbound in a 2007 Dodge Ram and crashed into several vehicles, ultimately killing 2 people. Gladys Johnson of Redford and Zakira Johnson were pronounced dead at the scene. Gladys Johnson was 35 years old. Zakira Johnson was 5. Moyer is expected to be arraigned next week, Monday afternoon. All right, Michigan State men's soccer team. The men's soccer team earned the number 7 seed in the 2017 NCAA tourney, earning a first-round bye. In the second round, the Spartans will host the winner of the first-round game between Virginia Tech and Air Force at DeMartin Stadium on Sunday at 1 p.m. The Spartans have lost only one game at DeMartin Stadium in the last two seasons. Virginia Tech and Air Force play their first round game this Thursday in Blacksburg, Virginia. The last time the Spartans earned a first round bye was in 2014 when Michigan State was the overall number three seed. The Spartans advanced to the Elite Eight that season before being edged by Providence 3-2 in East Lansing. All right, the NBA announced yesterday that Detroit Pistons forward Tobias Harris has been named Eastern Conference Player of the Week. Harris averaged 21.3 points per game, 7.7 rebounds per game, while shooting almost 50% from the field, 49 to be exact, and 64% from behind the arc to lead the Pistons to a 3-0 record for the week. Harris connected on 4-plus three-pointers in each game while shooting better than 55% from behind the arc in all three games. All right, the Detroit Tigers have signed right-handed pitcher Mark Montgomery, the first of many minor league free agents the team is likely to pursue this season. Montgomery spent 6 years in the New York Yankees organization before signing with the St. Louis Cardinals last April. He is 22-11 with a 2.35 ERA in 352 career innings, all in the minors. Last year for AAA Memphis, Montgomery went 5-1 with a 2.43 ERA in 66 2/3 innings of work. And lastly, the NFL's compensation committee has given Jerry Jones a cease and desist warning in response to the Dallas Cowboys owner's threat to sue the league over a contract extension talks with Commissioner Roger Goodell, according to the New York Times. Now, the committee issued the warning to Jones after holding a conference call yesterday to discuss Goodell's potential extension. Atlanta Falcons owner Arthur Blank, he released a statement on Monday saying that the committee is still working toward an extension for Goodell and disputing Jones's assertion that owners have been misled regarding, quote, critical facts about the negotiations. Blank, the chairman of the six-member committee, terminated Jones as a non-voting seventh member on Saturday because Jones threatened to sue the league. Talk about drama, right? And of course, the Cowboys played the Falcons on Sunday, and Jones and Blank had no interaction whatsoever. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/current sports or tweet us at Al Martin WKAR. It's my official Twitter handle, or tweet the show at its official Twitter handle of at @WKAR_sports. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite our guest for today's current sports. His name is Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. Tate will help us preview tonight's Michigan State and Duke men's basketball game. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up segment A, elaborating on the Detroit Lions and the chances that they have to. And again, right now, the schedule is just handing them the NFC North. If they can handle business against the Vikings, if they do that, the NFC North is theirs. And I elaborated on my thoughts watching that Cleveland Browns game as the Lions really struggled at certain moments. But you know, when they needed to make plays, and he's done this time and time again, Matthew Stafford was great. He showed up big time. That offense charged down the field, and Stafford just kind of went into a zone despite the bad first half that the Lions played. So they beat the lowly Cleveland Browns, and how embarrassing would that have been, right, if they would have fell to the Cleveland Browns, 0-8 approaching that game. But they get the dub nonetheless, and now they will play another bad team in the Chicago Bears come this weekend. I see a few of you have weighed in via Facebook.com/currentsports. I'll read one comment here. Ben Grimes chimes in and says, basically, we need to sweep the division opponents to win the NFC North division. Yeah, and you look at things again. The only one that that you have to be remotely worried about is the Minnesota Vikings. And, you know, we saw Case Keenum, a great game he played against former Michigan State quarterback Kirk Cousins this past weekend. I was very emotional for Teddy Bridgewater because it was his first time suiting up, you know, this past weekend for the Minnesota Vikings, and he teared up and you know, shed a few tears. Great to see him on the sidelines, but I have no idea why. If you see Case Keenum, Isaac, playing the way he's played this year, he's having a great year. Why would you want to, you know, open the door for any kind of quarterback drama if Case Keenum has come in and done a great job? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And right now, there's a lot of talk. I'm listening to a few, you know, national analysts kind of break down the situation out in Minnesota. And I think, did Bridgewater, did he play a few downs? I think some comments were made, actually, from the team saying that, okay, we'll evaluate Bridgewater and possibly he can come in and take some snaps. But I don't even know why you even open that box.
No, it's a can of worms, and you're risking it all for a quarterback who's played pretty well versus a quarterback who has not played since 2015. That doesn't make too much sense to me. Mm-hmm. And especially when, as you said, it's all in the dealing of the cards right now. And the thing is, the Lions have the better cards in front of them. The Vikings might have the better schedule, or the better team, but the schedule favors Detroit so heavily. I mean, you watch what the Vikings have coming up. It's Rams, then Lions, mm-hmm. then Falcons, then Panthers. Those are four games consecutively in which, if you ask me, they might settle for a 2-2 draw from those four games. So, No, I mean, there's no reason to open up another quagmire for this team by unleashing a quarterback controversy when you've got one who's playing very well. It's not Tom Brady who's returned from injury. I like Teddy Bridgewater a lot, but it's Teddy Bridgewater. You know, just go with Case Keenum.
If he's in his zone, don't even entertain that conversation right now. And Bridgewater didn't play. He was just suited up on the sidelines. But, you know, the team kind of opened up a possibility for Bridgewater to get some snaps come this weekend. But Case Keenum, I mean, he was 21 of 29 for 304 yards, had a QB rating of 117 against the Washington Redskins. That was a 38-30 win for the Vikings. And as you said, I mean, Isaac, I mean, Falcons, Panthers coming up. I mean, my goodness, the Lions have been handed the NFC North, but it's the Lions.
It's the Lions.
I would not be surprised if anything was to transpire that led to the Lions fumbling this NFC North title. So we'll see what happens. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. All right, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He is going to help us break down tonight's big college basketball game. I know many of you Spartan fans, if you are not heading to Chicago and making the four-hour drive from the Greater Lansing area to check out your Spartans take on Coach K and the Duke Blue Devils, I'm sure you will be on that couch at 7 p.m. watching that matchup via ESPN. This is why I love men's college basketball, especially when covering this team, Isaac, getting a chance to cover the Michigan State men's basketball team, because they're not playing lollipops, all right, during the non-conference schedule.
Wisconsin.
Exactly. Exactly, right. And speaking of the Big Ten, real quick, did you see Indiana get beat by Indiana State?
Yeah.
Get
crushed. Not just beaten,
right? They got stomped on in that game. But you look at Michigan State, though. Michigan State, Tom Izzo prides himself on finding value in playing legit competition in the non-conference schedule. He does it every single year, and that leads to us getting treats like this in November, mid-November, when we see Michigan State playing a Duke team, number one versus number two. I can't wait for tonight's game, and right now we invite a man who is going to be in his house to witness that matchup. It's our dear friend Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. Deshaun, how you doing, my man? I know you got to be excited about this one, brother.
Oh, you know I'm excited, man. I tell you what, I can imagine that those Spartan faithful is excited too and kind of anxious a little bit to get a win over a team that has actually had Michigan State's number quite a bit, with Tom Izzo being got one victory and over double-digit losses to Coach K. I know that he kind of wants to get over the hump. This can be the team that can actually do it, but we've said this exact same thing about Michigan State for a couple different seasons, and they weren't able to do it, so we'll see exactly how special this team is. The thing that concerns me a little bit is Michigan State actually doesn't play necessarily as well in some of these games at the beginning of the season, but does help them prepare to get to a run in March. So we'll see, man. I'm excited.
You know, an interesting article was written by Graham Couch of the Lansing State Journal today, Deshaun, and he made a few points that really make you just kind of sit back and think about Michigan State's own Tom Izzo having a 1-10 all-time record against Coach K and Duke. And I just want to read a quick excerpt and get your reaction to whether or not you agree with really putting that record in perspective when evaluating these two teams. Quote, "This is to point out that Izzo's 1-10 mark against Duke is exaggerated by poor timing. It should probably be about 4-7 if the uncontrollable factors were more balanced. MSU has been ranked in the top 10 in 15 of the last 19 seasons since Izzo first faced Coach K, but the Spartans have only been ranked in the top 10 for 5 of their 11 contests against Duke." So basically throughout the article, you know, and I'll unpack a few more points in just a moment, Deshaun, but throughout this piece, Graham basically kind of lays out the situations in which Duke clearly had the better team against Izzo Spartans, where Duke was ranked as a top 10 and top 5 team, where Izzo Spartans were ranked in the top 15 to maybe 20 mark. And during years where Michigan State had a higher-ranked team than Coach K's squads, we didn't see Duke and Michigan State play. Do you think the 1-10 mark is, quote-unquote, exaggerated at all?
Let me say this. I know Graham. I love Graham. Nobody respects Graham's work more than I do. So I want to make that very clear. However, it's not even about – none of this is about ranking. You throw rankings out of the window completely. You come to Michigan State for these type of caliber games, such as one tonight. Rankings have nothing to do – is there some truth to it? Does it hold some truth? Absolutely it holds some truth. But you can't tell that to a time. That can't be an asterisk or anything such as that as to why they maybe didn't get over the hump. Is some of it about timing? Sure, it's probably about timing. But at the end of the day, when you read that Duke on the front of the chest, in some cases, I believe, at least I feel by just watching the game, there's some instances where some players from Michigan State showed in their game against Duke that they were reading on the front of the chest. Not that maybe they weren't as talented as a lot of those Duke teams. However, in the same token, some of those Duke teams could have been beatable by some of those Michigan State teams. However, they weren't able to get over that hump. So from that standpoint, it can't be nobody's going to use this as any sort of excuse by any stretch of the imagination. Duke has realistically just kind of had, Tom Izzo's number and Michigan State's number, and they're not the only team. There's another team right across the street over there on Tobacco Road that seems to have had Michigan State's number as well, and that's North Carolina in some cases where, you know, Michigan State would make it far. We all know about the 2009 and 2005 Final Fours and so on and so on. So and what's the excuse there? I don't think there's an excuse to be made here. I think the reality is, and I'm not saying Graham was making an excuse, however, what I will say is you throw all of that out of the window tonight. Michigan State has an opportunity to make it 2-10 record for Tom Izzo versus 1-11. And I think that'll be one of the more interesting things, not so much about the team that Tom Izzo had at that time or what time of the year that they played Duke. I've seen them play Duke with talented teams or not as talented teams early in the year, such as tonight, and as well as late in the year, as we've seen in 2015. Not a simple excuse.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned North Carolina. Michigan State is, during the Izzo era, Tom Izzo was 2-9 against the Tar Heels. Now, Deshaun, looking at the 1-10 record against Coach K and Duke, what is it that has led to that record? Is it scheme? Is it players? I mean, is it effort? I mean, what do you think? And I don't think it's the last one. I mean, Tom Izzo's teams, I believe, are always prepared and ready to play, and I think they do give effort. But I just think that, you know, when evaluating a few of these games, I think Coach K has come out with a good scheme. And at times, looking at a few of those matchups, Duke has been the more talented team. How would you evaluate that 1-10 record? Why does Izzo struggle against the Blue Devils?
I think realistically, Al, it's talent. Let's start with that. Duke is usually the more talented team. But outside of that, I don't think that should go to show why Michigan State has the record against Coach K and Duke as much as it is sometimes the mentality of some of the core group. Just, you know, there's going to be one or two, you know, guys on the team. In this case, Miles Bridges. At one time, I think maybe Draymond Green or Denzel Valentine, guys who don't necessarily read that name on the front of the jerseys. But for some reason, whatever reason, especially when you're playing up there, in Cameron, which we've seen that happen probably three times since they've come to the Breslin Center, you know, I think some of that has a lot to do with the tradition. None of that is an excuse, because if Michigan State wants to be on the same level, which what Tom Izzo said when he came in, that was his objective as the head coach of Michigan State, to be up there with the North Carolinas, the Duke, the UCLA, Kansas, Kentucky, so on and so forth. But I think the biggest thing outside of talent is the fact that sometimes, let's be real about it, some of the guys go in there and they kind of play scared a little bit. And I hope we don't see any of that tonight. However, it is very early. Would I be surprised if I see any of that tonight? No. Would I be surprised if I saw any of that out of Miles Bridges? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, it's all about getting your guys ready. Again, this is why you come to Michigan State, for these type of games, to play on the biggest level, to play on the biggest stage. And I mean, they have to really avoid what's been their Achilles heel the last couple seasons, limiting the turnovers. Can't afford to have those issues anymore. We don't have an injury issue right now for Michigan State, so that is definitely on the good side, but you can't read the names on the front of those uniforms. Forget about the tradition. You have to imagine yourself being on the same floor. Hey, these guys put their uniforms on over their head and put their, you know, their shorts on one leg at a time. So realistically, if they just go out there and just feel, hey, no, none of these guys are walking on water. None of these guys from Duke are better than us. You know, they're starting four freshmen, I believe. So from that standpoint, you just have to go in there and say, you know what, let the better team win. And I like to think whoever wins should be considered the better team, although ultimately that'll be decided the first week of April.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, for Michigan State, they have a talented sophomore class that last year, arguably Tom Izzo's best freshman recruiting class he's ever had. Miles Bridges is coming back. He is on the lips of many as the preseason pick to become National Player of the Year. But you mentioned, you know, the Blue Devils and that youth. They will start, you know, four freshmen tonight, three of whom were McDonald's All-Americans, Deshaun. The fourth, Marvin Bagley III, he reclassified into the class of 2017 after having been the top-rated 2018 recruit. And, you know, looking at those first two games for Duke, they really didn't disappoint. Bagley, he averaged almost 25 points per game, 10 boards. He shot 65.7%, becoming the first Duke freshie to record double-doubles in his first two games. He is going to be a handful for the Spartans. How do you evaluate each matchup? But, you know, when looking at the starting five for Michigan State, the starting five for Duke, what do you like and who has the best matchup here?
I'm not sure that there really is a necessarily best matchup. I think the best thing for Michigan State to go out there and do is throw those bodies like Ben Carter's and Schilling and Tillman. If you're going to foul Marvin Bagley and make sure that they're getting their money's worth, and make sure he's getting his money worth and make sure he's earning it at the line, which he hasn't been shooting from the line all that well, considering you have to make sure that he's not going out there getting, you know, easy and ones and things like that. So I think the matchup between the bigs of Michigan State with Ward and some of those other guys who has to stay out of foul trouble, by the way, against Bagley, I think that will be a huge matchup. And, you know, just one thing Coach K said about, you know, Marvin Bagley, reality is that he says that there's nobody like Marvin Bagley. He said it's not about him being better than anyone else. It's just the fact that he is different from everyone else. And I had an opportunity to see a lot of Marvin Bagley on the high school circuit, different showcases and things of that nature. I've heard some people compare him to kind of like a Giannis Antetokounmpo and Ben Simmons combination. But I do think that he kind of has a Kevin Garnett motor intensity type of thing to him. as well as a Chris Bosh skill set with an Anthony Davis upside. Now, I know a lot of that might sound crazy.
Wow, those are some big names, Deshaun.
A lot of that might sound crazy, but trust me, it is for a good reason. When I first saw this kid hit the floor in high school, I knew off the back, Al, this is a future 10-time NBA All-Star, hands down. He runs
really?
The floor well. He's really strong.
Yeah.
And he's a pretty good ball handler, high IQ, and a great work ethic, especially on the glass. So I don't want to take up too much time about Marvin Bagley. I think one guy we're not talking nearly enough about as far as Duke, don't sleep on this guy, Trayvon Duval, who is projected to be the top point guard coming out of the last year's high school class. Sneaky athleticism, a natural scorer, can affect the game in a plethora of different ways. Sneaky strength. He's an NBA-ready guy. Hopefully Michigan State doesn't have problems with him, but I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being the guy either with Bagley or instead of Bagley that can lead Duke into a win. If they could shut those guys down, I'm not nearly concerned about the other guys in terms of Grayson Allen and some of the other guys that are starters and or guys coming off the bench. They don't go very deep at all.
Okay, and, you know, I caught a few highlights from, you know, the two games that Bagley has played in, and I tell you what, Deshaun, he is very impressive, especially I saw him steal the basketball, going to brink, two guys chasing him down, and I thought he was just going to lay the ball up. And the dude just goes up, and I mean easily, just goes up with a crazy athletic slam and made ESPN's top 10 plays that night. I mean, the kid is very impressive. So I want to ask you, you know, two questions here, and I just kind of just want you to just kind of just go with both of them, Deshaun. Michigan State wins if?
Michigan State wins if they're able to get out into transition, rebound like the old Michigan State teams, be physical on the boards, and probably outside of limiting their turnovers, make sure you're starting Tum Tum Nairn. And I know he's a senior, and Izzo loves those seniors. Make sure that you're sitting Nairn for Winston coming out of the gate, because if you're starting out with Nairn, I think you're going to have some issues for Michigan State. Go.
Michigan State loses if.
Michigan State loses if Miles Bridges doesn't come away. Forget about just coming away with a double-double. I think that the X factor has to get loose. That guy is Joshua Langford. He's going to have a big game. Jackson is going to have a fairly decent game, going to have to do the little things. Forget about on the stat sheet, the little things that don't pop up on the stat sheet. Those are the things that Jaren Jackson is going to have to do. Last but not least, Nick Ward has to have a huge game and take advantage of the experience that he has against the front court.
Fans will be surprised by...
Probably Trayvon Duval. I think Trayvon Duval is just the truth. I think Trayvon Duval is the guy. And fans will probably be surprised. On the Michigan State side, I'm not really sure if there could be too many surprises, but I think that they will be. Fans will be surprised by the changes that Coach Izzo will make in order to finally get over the hump of Coach K and taking advantage of some of the advantages that he has.
Miles Bridges will finish with?
I'm going to go with an easy, I'm going to go with 22 points and 11 rebounds.
Okay. Double-double. All right.
Double-double.
Last question here, Deshaun. Michigan State's Tom Izzo, his record against Duke will be blank after tonight.
Oh, that's an easy one, Al. That's the best one you got for the last question.
That's the last easily one I got, man.
Easily 2-10. Not easily. I take that back. I'm going to go with 2-10. I'm going Sparty tonight. I take the easily back. I'm going 2-10 against Duke.
Okay, you're going 2-10. All right. And Deshaun, are you in Chicago right now, man?
I'm in the Windy City right now, man. It's brick cold out here, Al.
You can say that again, right? Well, I tell you what, here in Michigan, we've gotten lucky today. It's going to be 49 degrees, so we're in the lower 50s. I think we'll hit 50 or 51 today. But, hey, stay warm there, Deshaun. And just about the atmosphere, when it comes to this game, I mean, the Champions Classic, two big programs like this. I mean, the atmosphere there is probably going to be pretty crazy tonight, right? You expect that, right?
Yeah, a number one versus a number two. I mean, Kansas and Kentucky,
thing is, this is like your own little Final Four right here, Al. When you get to the Final Four, you don't know what you're going to get. You might end up with Wichita State. One year, you ended up with Butler and BCU. It gets no better than this right here. All the blue bloods, all the best tradition. You add up all the banners in each arena, for everything from regular season championships from Kansas to Kentucky and Michigan State and all their Final Fours. And I think Duke pretty much explains and speaks for itself. Outstanding coaches is the best part. I think that's going to be some of the biggest keys when you talk about the front court with no back court of Kentucky and then the back court with no front court of Kansas is going to come down to a coaching matchup. That's where I think you're going to find out a lot about, is people like Coach Cal a good recruiter or is he a good coach? I think all across the board, Izzo being able to get past Coach K, or Coach K maybe adding to that 1,001 wins all at one school, the coaching, the blue bloods, the tradition, that's going to make all the difference. What better place to have it than right here on November 14, 2017 in the Windy City?
Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter for CBS Radio down in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Deshaun, how can people follow your work, my man?
At Tate's Take Sports, TateesTake Sports. I got a website that's going to be coming up really, really soon. That's going to be fantastic, called Driving Baseline. That's soon to come. 92.9 The Game, 929thegame.com. But last but not least, of course, at Tate's Take Sports. That's the best way.
All right, Deshaun, I can only imagine you'll be tweeting a lot tonight, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Definitely, especially now that Twitter has upped its 140 character limit to now 200. So I'm pretty sure there'll be a few novels being tweeted out tonight with a lot of coverage. Thanks so much, Deshaun.
Thank you so much, Al. Appreciate you having me on.
You got it, my man. Always good chatting with you. All right, let's hit our brief second break, and we'll come back with about, do we have a second break, guys?
I don't think we even have time to hit the second break.
Do we have time? Well, it's 30, yeah, we don't. No, we don't. It's wow. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh,
yeah.
1:57. I tell you, time flies when you're having fun. Thank you for that correction, Isaac. Well, I wanted to come back with just brief thoughts on the, I'll get to Michigan State women's basketball tomorrow because they deserve some attention. I've seen some great things from this team and just two games to start the regular season. They sit at 2-0. But I just want to make brief comments on the Detroit Pistons. They've had a sizzling start to the year. Tobias Harris, I saw he was named by the association as the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. In the Western Conference, I believe, who was it? Was it Joker from the Denver Nuggets?
It was.
Yeah. So Tobias Harris is playing great, but you know, this team as a whole is playing so good right now. We'll have I'm going to try to get James Edwards III on tomorrow's Current Sports, and we'll have coverage from tonight's men's basketball game between Duke and Michigan State on tomorrow's show, and a loaded show. We're going to have coverage from the press conference of the Michigan State football team that took place this morning on tomorrow's Current Sports radio as well. So we're going to be a jam-packed show, but much thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, and much thanks to Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio down in Atlanta. Same time, same place tomorrow, folks. I'm Al Martin, reminding you all to be easy, people.